In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ defines himself in this parable as the sower. Now think about his generosity. We could not go up to heaven because of our sins. The gulf between us and our capacities was so great, he had to descend, he had to take flesh. And he was happy and willing to do this. And when he came, he began to preach the word of God, which is described in this as seeds. So he's throwing these seeds. Now, in the case of the soil that is described of three particular types, the first soil is beaten and pressed down. It's like a pathway that everybody walks on, and if you throw something on it, it will remain on the surface. It will not go into the ground. You know, the second soil is described as rocky, so it doesn't have any depth so that the root cannot go and continue to sustain itself. So in times when the sun comes out and burns brightly, that plant will wither and die. And the third type of soil is the soil that is it shares the good seed that he throws goes into a soil that is shared by thistles and thorns. And so when they grow up, and if you've ever had a lawn and watched your lawn, you will see how quickly weeds grow and how slowly grass grows. How quickly you can find the weed that you thought that you had pulled up by the roots growing again. In our house, you can come and look at the corner of our house. There's a little tiny palm tree that's trying to grow between the bricks and the wall of the house. We tore down these palm trees in our house 40 years ago. 40 years ago, we knocked down these palm trees. This thing found its way. It wasn't where it was originally, but a seed found its way. So that it would come up. It found some light, it found some air, and it's starting to grow. And we have a small palm tree of about 18 inches in length, growing at a 45 degree angle from the corner of my house. And I think all the times I've spent on getting Marathon 2 grass and doing all of the various things that I have to do to make sure that my lawn looks nice, and this seed. All right. So the third type of soil. All three of these soils that I have mentioned are, we can say, souls. And these will all go to hell. These will all go to hell. You cannot make claim that you have been given a rocky soil. You cannot claim that you have been given a soil that was beaten down. And you cannot claim that you were given a soil that was filled with thistles and thorns. Omelia will come out of the baptismal font with good soil. It will be up to her in her lifetime, all the days of her life, to keep that soil in good condition so that the seed of God will enter into her soul, and will find a place there for growth. And then the growth we will see, and we will share, and we will rejoice in, and we will also participate in. No one was ever given bad soil by God. If your soil is bad, look to yourself. You have been lazy. You have been unconcerned. Now, they go through the fathers I'm speaking of now. A lot of energy is expended on describing precisely what these types of soil, how they came to be this way. You know, when you go to college, and it's funny because we see this today in our government when we have new legislatures formed that have many young people that have very poor educations. Graduating from college today is like graduating from high school when I was going to high school. Graduating from college today doesn't mean very much. You don't read books. You don't read books. You don't read books at all. You're given books to read, but you don't read them. maybe Cliff Notes, maybe you will go on some, you know, website and you will find something that's been written. Maybe you will pay somebody else to do it, but you don't actually read the book. How do I know this? How is this so apparent to me? Because of the poor language that people use. They can't speak English properly. And if you read books, you're reading the greatest expositors of the English language. You know, now it's just about having an idea that they think that they have found, that it never existed before. It's unbelievable. Well, so you have in college, and this happened to me, okay? I was looking really deeply into Hinduism. Really deeply into Hinduism, you know, and I followed Swami Paramhansa Yogananda. His famous book is called Biography of a Yogi. I followed the translation, one of the translators of the Bhagavad Gita, along with Christopher Isherwood. I followed. Krishnamurti, I followed various people. The list of names is not that important. What's important is that when I was about 18, 19 years old, I thought, yeah, Hinduism is smart. Mother India, you know, mother. She is the cradle of civilization. Look how old she is. Look at the things that were done. Look at the ascesis. The works of tremendous spiritual labor. Look at all these things that are done. And then, well, you know, I started to think about Buddhism. I started to really like Buddhism. You know, and I read the Tao, you know, the Tao Te Ching. And, you know, Lao Tzu was very important to me. And I was into martial arts at the time. And my martial arts instructor was a Buddhist, and he would use the kinds of images that come from the understanding of their scripture. Anyway, I couldn't find a group, right? I was like the only white face. Wherever I went, I was always the only white face, right? When I was playing drums and I was a drum teacher and doing things like that, again, I was the only white face. I was playing with guys that were usually Mexican and salsa bands, or I was playing with black people who played, you know, funk and various things. And I was always the seeker. Well, why I'm telling you this is because each time, think of my soil. Think of my soil. It's getting trodden down by each one of these philosophies. The philosophy of Hinduism, the philosophy of Buddhism, you know, the idea of the mysticism of the East was so important. And then I went through my Russian period. I went through the Russian period like nobody has ever gone through a Russian period. I went through Chekhov. I went through Dostoevsky. I went through Pushkin. I went through Berdyaev. I went through just every Russian I could find. And I was listening to the music. You know, I was raised at a time when the Russians, you know, were so powerful in their athletics. They took a guy named Valery Borzov, who was a long jumper, and turned him into a 100-meter specialist, and he won the Olympic Games in the 100 meters, where America had it for years. It was like a guarantee we're going to win the sprint in the 100 meters. No, look it up. Valery Borzov. I was becoming Russian. I started, Stratsvye, Tovarish, you know, hello, comrade. You know, I was... Again, the soil is getting more compacted. That's sometimes how it happens. We have the craziest ideas that come to some kids because they're so stupid. They are so stupid. They have come from a place of fullness, right? Where they felt secure, really felt secure. I've got a home, people that love me, I've got food, I've got money, everything is good. I'm going to take a journey. And then, oh, the grass is greener over there. Or I don't have to do this. Or this is over here. And again. Okay. So after my Russian period, then I started to get into psychology. Psychology was really important, you know. So there was, of course, there's the behaviorist, B.F. Skinner. And then there's Carl Rogers, who is the opposite. He's the touchy-feely guy. And then you had Otto Rank, and you had Freud, and all of these other people. Oh, I'm really into psychology. Now I understand myself. Now I understand the world. Now I've got everything. Now I'm sure. No, these guys don't agree. I'm into philosophy. Philosophy is where I'm going. Philosophy is where I'm going to hang my... Do you understand how easy it is to get beaten down? To get beaten down? Just beaten. So that what's anybody going to tell me? What is anybody going to tell me? What? Who are they going to bring up? I've already been through it. I know that name. I know those conditions. Who's going to tell me anything? So, I met a guy in university who was, he's a Presbyterian. He's one of the people that in Arabic, he wrote the you know where you go to, I can't think of the name of the book that I want to express. It's where you look up every single word and you tell it where it is in the Bible. It's not a concordance, but it is a concordance. That's it. Okay, so his name is Dr. Boutros Abdelmalek. And I met this guy, Dr. Boutros Abdelmalek. He was a teacher at Cal State LA. Ramses Wassef over at St. John's, if you know Ramses Wassef. He was a student there at the same time with me. Anyway, he started to talk about God. In a university, you're not allowed to speak about God if it's a public university as a religion, but you can speak about it, and the title was The Bible as Literature. I had a Jew teach me the Old Testament, Dr. Erwin Swerdlow, and all of a sudden, these things, after having gone through all of this stuff, it started to break up the hard ground, and that was just the beginning. And as those things started to occur, then I was ready for the Lord to bring me to my father of confession, Abuna Lua Sidros. Anyway, I'm lucky. I'm just lucky. Because the way that I was going straight to hell. Straight to hell. Because what's going to make an impression on me? And I could argue with you. Boy, could I argue. I could argue until you just were deaf and dumb. I mean, you have no idea how long I could sustain an argument. And it was a rational argument because I had all of these different things. The reason I moved from, you know, Hinduism to Buddhism to, you know, on and on and on was because I found a deficiency. And so when they would start to talk about stuff, I would bring up their deficiencies, their problems, you know. Anyway. You go to the second sort of soil that's mentioned. It's the rocky soil. What do you think a rocky soil is? Something having no depth. It's where your life gets so careless. Your life gets so careless that you actually become overwhelmed by your own decisions. I'll tell you what I mean by this. Have you looked at your garage lately? Anybody have a garage and have a house? If it looks like the garage in my house, you will see the rocky soil right there in front of your eyes. You have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on the garage floor. Thousands and we can't throw it away because it's thousands and thousands of dollars. We can't use the garage. God forbid we try to put a car in the garage. It's impossible. And I know I'm not the only one. I know that for two people, we have two fridges. You know, we have two refrigerators for two people. It's always that way. At one time, well, just a year ago, we had three refrigerators, okay? We pared that down. You know, we got rid of some of the rocks. But we got rocks all over the house. We got a room you can't even go into. You can't go, well, you can go in 3 feet. You can go into this room 3 feet, you take the fourth step, you fall over because you hit something. Okay, it's a whole bedroom. It's a whole bedroom piled almost floor to ceiling. This is the rocky soil, you understand? And then you get to the soil that's with the thistles and the thorns. These are the cares. People worry about the dumbest things in the whole world. You know, oh my God, you know, how are my kids gonna go to school? Who's my kid gonna marry? Oh my God, I got all these. You know, I can tell you as a priest that the people that have worked the hardest to get their kids to go to school and marry well have had exactly the same number of problems as the parents who didn't care about whether they went to school at all or who they married. It's the same number. Why? Because ultimately, it's the two people that are trying to make a life together. It's their set of problems. It's not you overlaying the top of all of these things. Why do we as parents do more than point the way? This is the way to safety. If they're going to take it, they're going to take it. Did God go running after the prodigal son? He didn't go running after the prodigal son. He stayed exactly where he was so the prodigal son could find him. But the prodigal son just, well, I got things are good, you know, thing, you know, and when my dad dies, I'm going to be rich, you know, as soon as the old, why is he living that long? I mean, so I'll get the money and I'll go. And you know the story of the prodigal son. Well, God, the father in that story stays right where he is. So his son, if he becomes smart enough, he will return to his father. And that's exactly what it says in the gospel. He came to himself. He came to himself. Who are we? We're gods. When we take the baby out of the hand of the mother and give it to me, and I hold that baby in my right hand, her head, and her ankles in my left hand, and I will give her to God in death and burial, 3 days, symbolizing the three dunks in the water. And I will lift her up and she will be new and she will belong to God alone. Now, whoever else she gives herself to in her entire lifetime is completely up to her. But we will start her off perfectly, purely. And each one of us will, in turn, when we have interactions with her, put her on the right course if we see that she's doing something amiss, or give her advice that if she's wise enough, she'll take. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he describes this scenario. Then he says something else to his disciples so that they would understand. I'm speaking to these people in parables. Why? Because if he spoke to them plainly the way that I'm speaking to you, if they then turned their back on what he had said, they'd go straight to hell. They have no advocate. But if they're spoken to in parables, if they don't understand the parable, then their disobedience is not so bad. Their disobedience is not so harsh. And so therefore the penalty is not so harsh. But if you know exactly what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, hell, no other place. Oh, the mercy of God, the mercy of God, the mercy of God. The mercy of God is for the people that try and don't quite make it. They try, right? I told you this before, I think. I had an economics professor, a German guy, Dr. Hans Lind. And I was taking microeconomics, and I went in, you know, because it was the end of the semester, and I said, "How'd I do?" He said, "Well, I helped you a little." He said, "I gave you a B." All right. Now maybe that means I deserved a C+, or you know, but he helped. That's the mercy that you get from God. I helped you a little. I helped you a little. I didn't like economics, by the way, but I'm just saying, you have to understand mercy is not for the profligate. Mercy is not for the people that live their entire life the wrong way and then at the end make a feeble, what does it say about that? Lord, We ate in your presence. We prophesied in your name. He says, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. What do you mean you don't know who I am? You made me. I don't know who you are. Wait a minute, I was baptized in your name. I don't know who you are. Wait. I have people praying for me all the time. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. And because that person doesn't know who they are either, they don't know who they are. Just like me, right? Going step by step by step, thing to thing to thing. I was coming home and my poor mother, every day I was telling her, I got the answer. Mom, I got the answer. I just read this book. You know, she just looked at me. I wish I could have a conversation with her now, because Mom, I got the answer. I really do have the answer. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He has given us these things so that we may counsel others, that we may check ourselves, and that we may, going forward, do as much as we can to produce good fruit, so that at the end of time, you know, we figure into what the prophecy of the psalm has said. Saturate her furrows. You know, you have to make furrows in the ground for the water to stay. Multiply her fruits. We, the growing plants, let us produce things that are good. The crop springing up shall rejoice in its drops. It's drops of sweetness. Have you ever seen a really ripe piece of fruit and on the outside of the skin, there are little tiny drops of nectar, right? That's what they're talking about. And you will bless the crown of the year because of your goodness, and your plains shall be filled with fatness. Why? Because your people have listened to you. They've listened and they've put it into action. They've put it into action. You know, we pray for all of the people that are not doing well, but at the same time, you can't expect that God is going to simply have died without them caring. Died. He died for us. And we must care about that. And we must change ourselves because we care about that. And we must, if it is called upon us, to suffer because He suffered for us. And He did so for one reason and one reason only. He loves us. So in those things, may we pray for those who are not with us, and may we pray for ourselves that we will be improved. Glory be to His holy name, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.